This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
So in the studio to chat about a second great result in a row, we have Joey Katamian. Welcome, Joey.
Hey, guys.
How's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yes, not too bad. Thanks for coming in. How'd you pull up after the weekend?
Yeah, good. I only got about 20 minutes, but we had a good recovery sesh last night. And, looking forward to Friday.
Do the late Sunday games have any effect on your recovery at all?
Not really. It was our first Sunday game this year, to be fair. So we're used to it from the past. And now the boys have recovered well. And hard session tomorrow night, apparently. So that'll be good.
That being said, it was a pretty physical game. 7 yellow cards in the first 21 minutes. Was that what you expected heading over to Lakeside?
Look, the NPL we know is very physical. And we go into every game expecting the most. So we decided that we were going to, you know, give it a crack from the first whistle. We had a chat during the week that we weren't going to take our foot off the pedal. And, it was a fast-paced game at the start. There were a lot of challenges flying in. But we held our own, and it was a great performance.
Well, a bit of bad news with the challenges flying in. Some of them took a little bit of a toll on Brandon Lundy, who was forced off, I think, about the 15th minute or so after a heavy challenge with what looked like a fairly serious shoulder injury. Do you have any update or any word on how he's going?
Yeah, we spoke to Lundy. He went off to the hospital when he came off. And, just the AC joint. We don't know how serious it is, but we're all praying it's for the best. And we want him back out there as soon as possible. You know, he's been a brick for us. It's been quality since coming in, and it was a shame because it wasn't a pretty challenge, and you don't want to see injuries like that, you know, keeping players out of the game.
Is there any sort of loose time frame on his return at all? Do you reckon he'll be back at all this season, maybe for the finals, or too early to tell?
Yeah, I think a bit too early to tell. He's getting a few opinions, and I'm sure we'll see over the next few days what the outcome is. But yeah, like I said, we're all praying that it's as minor as possible, and even if it is for the season, touch wood, he'll be with us in the change rooms anyway. He's quality in there, and he'll be helping the boys.
And talking about the game, I mean, it was a breakthrough from Liam Boland from the penalty spot, but then Matt Reid's header coming up from the back. He scored a couple of goals already this season. I think Yeetay Towns might already be having to buy the peroxide if they're bet.
Yeah, I don't know where that's at. I think they're pretty even. Yeah. But I think Yeetay scored a couple of weeks ago, so Reid got one back. So yes. Not too sure where it actually stands, but
we'll have to delve into the stats later. But scoring a goal that late in the half off a set piece, I mean, gave you guys a commanding lead going into halftime. You know, how important is that momentum?
Yeah, most definitely. It was great to get that second goal, especially because going in the sheds at halftime, you know, 2-0 up was a good result for us. We didn't even play our best football, and we acknowledged that at halftime. Zocchi gave it to us at halftime about that, and boys came out second half on flames and, you know, shored up the result and got that extra goal in the end. But yeah, going in at 2-0, it does help going into the second half.
Well, we let a few leads slip a few weeks ago when we were in that sort of that tough winless streak. You know, we'd taken the lead against, I think, against Heidelberg and a couple of other teams and had given that away. What was the message at halftime for this game to sort of try to make sure that didn't happen again?
Yeah, well, it's funny because the games we did let the lead slip, we were playing brilliant football, and we're very good at that this season. We've been playing great football. I don't think anyone's outplayed us. And halftime, the message was just to put our foot on the ball and start playing, because that's how we play. We're not a kick it, we're not a pump it. And we started playing in the second half, and, you know, South couldn't really touch us, so that was good.
And a ceiling goal from Yusuf Ahmed just after the break. I mean, is there any kind of game management, you know, do you just not put your foot on the brake at all when you're up 3-0, or is it, you know, a bit of a realisation that it's a long season, you know, just keeping the ball and seeing it out at 3-0 is comfortable enough?
Yeah, well, we like to score goals. I think, we've scored the most goals in the comp, and we love scoring goals. But yeah, 3-0 up, when I came on, you know, my job was to just shore up the result, you know, do a defensive duty, and we've been good at that. And that was the main message, to just obviously keep playing football and keep that clean sheet, because Zocchi loves a clean sheet.
Speaking of which, seemed to be one of the best defensive games that Avondale have played in a while. Is there any reason behind that?
Not necessarily. I think we've been, like the stats show, we've conceded the least goals in the comp, and our defence has been brilliant. Not many teams have scored quality goals against us, and the defence were brilliant, and Reedy chipping in with a goal will obviously help the defenders get one on the attackers.
How's the dressing room after back-to-back wins? I mean, in particularly after overcoming that, you know, that tough streak, does it feel like we've sort of turned a corner now?
Yeah, well, even after that little rough patch, there was no negative vibes in the change room after our draws, because we know that we did deserve to win those games. We played brilliant football, but yeah, it's obviously better coming in with the 3 points, and it was good vibes in the change room after. We've got a great group, best group I've ever been a part of, and that was a really good positive result for us.
What do you think goes into making that dressing room, you know, so harmonious, such a good group? I mean, you know, we've heard from a lot of the players that they're, you know, quite a lot of big characters in the dressing room, a lot of exuberance. Is it just about the personalities of the players? Is there something the coaching staff's doing?
Oh, the players, us players ourselves, we're not shy. We all get around each other. We catch up outside of football, which is a massive thing. You know, our culture at Avondale is quality, and that stems from the coaches as well, to the board, to, you know, even the 20s, you know, they sometimes come train with us, and they're always involved, and our camaraderie is quality.
So you were at Avondale last year as well, which was obviously a great season, but how does this year compare to last season for you?
Personally, last year was much better for me on the football field. This year I had a bit of a injury at the start of the season, but I've just said to myself, I've got to keep pushing, working hard for the boys. I know I need to do a job when I've been coming off the bench. Change room wise, there's been a few boys that have come in, and I'm sure you've heard of those boys. The new ones this year have brought excellent chemistry to the team. They weren't shy. They've come in like a house on fire, and they've created a great culture.
Well, you mentioned that injury that you suffered earlier on in the year a little bit. So tell us a little bit more about that. Like, how much, when did you suffer the injury firstly, and then how much does that injury then go on to shape, you know, the rest of your season, or at least the start of the season?
Yeah, well, my preseason was, it was actually one of the best preseasons I've ever had. And it was a shame. Week before the season, we're in Sydney, and I hurt my ankle. So that left me out for about five, six weeks. And just from there, I was just a bit behind the eight ball, because the boys were on fire, you know, winning games by multiple goals. Training was on fire. And when I came back in, it was hard to adjust, obviously, because, you know, the boys were fitter than me. But I've come back into it. Training's been good. But, yeah, like I said, last year's very different, because I was starting last year. You know, I was scoring goals. This year's been a bit flat for me. But, like I said, I've had to go through the hard times this year a little bit, but, you know, I'm staying mentally right for the boys, and I know that I have to do a job, you know, when I do come off the bench.
How does that change things for you? You know, coming off the bench a lot of the time, does that change your role, how you approach the game at all?
Not necessarily. I know that I'm capable of starting in our team. Everyone on the bench is capable of starting. I think we've definitely got the best depth in the competition. You know, when you got like players like myself, Yusuf Ahmed, Johnny Gamano on the bench, ready to come on. That's a dangerous, trio to come on. And we'll do a job no matter what. We've rotated this year. We've got the place to do it. And Zocchi's made that clear from the start that he'll give chances to everyone, and he has done that so far. So we're all in it together. The 22 players or whatever it is, the whole squad.
So what are the training sessions like at the moment? I mean, obviously with that depth on the bench, that comes, it'll be a competition as well.
Yeah, most definitely. There's been a lot of changes throughout the year. Players dropping in and out of the squad, suspension, injuries. But training's quality. Everyone's pushing each other. Our fitness has been unbelievable this year. We've been running out games, scoring early, scoring late. But yeah, training's at a at a very high intensity at all times, even if it's a recovery session.
And it seems as if the players, you know, not exactly interchangeable, but it seems as if the system in place, it lends itself to being able to cope with the loss of one or two individuals each and every week.
Yeah, well, the boys that have come in from the start of the season have been tremendous, you know. They've cemented places in the squad, coming off the bench, even at training. They're fighting for their spots, and they're fighting to stay in the team, and they have earned our respect from last year, and that's all we could ask for.
How important is that depth going to be heading into the back end and the pointy end of the season?
Yeah, most definitely. I know that there's definitely going to be either, there could be, touch wood, injuries, suspensions, but having that depth is, you know, it's going to allow us to, you know, pull out a full strength team every week. And regardless of players coming in and out, there's always players coming in that are going to do a job.
I think with that, we might take a little break, Branson. If you've got any more questions about the game against South Melbourne or...
Not really, I don't know.
I think we've covered it quite well. Yeah. Well, let's take a short break and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into Joey's career and us thus far, and a lot more after the break here on Avenger Radio.
At FNR, Football Nation Radio, we love our sponsors, don't we, Louise?
That's right. Whether it be exclusive naming rights to one of our shows, a live credit read, or an advertising package that rotates their professionally produced commercial hundreds of times throughout key listening periods. FNR loves providing sponsors advertising packages that suit all budgets.
So, if you want to advertise your product or your service, email us today at station@footballnationradio.com.au.
Or give us a call on 03-9944-9900 and connect your business with our passionate football audience.
To Avenger Radio. My name is Branson. I'm here with Josh talking all things Avondale FC. We're joined in the studio by Joey Katabian. Thanks for hanging around. So we've had a bit of a chat about the South Melbourne game, taking a look at that and the squad. But what we'd like to do now is learn a little bit more about your footballing journey, because you've had quite an interesting story, at least I reckon. So, just to get the ball rolling, like, how did you first... Tell us a bit about your career. How did you first get involved in football? I mean, were there any other sports that you considered playing? Was it football all the way?
Funnily enough, I nearly stopped playing football when I was 13, 12 or 13, to go play AFL, because I just had a bit of an interest in AFL. But lucky I stuck to football. So, I started when I was young at Bulleen, when I was 7 years old, and just kind of went through the ranks there up into the senior team, and that's kind of where, you know, I took off.
I would like to change tack for just a moment. Let's work out how to say your last name once and for all, definitively, because I've heard, I think, seven probably different pronunciations. Katabian?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to say it. Honestly, it depends on your background, blah, blah, blah.
How do you say it?
I just say Katabian.
Katabian, all right.
Katabian. There's Katabian. There's a lot of ways to say it.
How would your grandparents say it?
Oh, with a very heavy accent. But yeah, it's just there's a lot of ways to say it. I'm not fussed. I've heard it all, so it's okay. However you want to say it.
So we don't have a Razio Fantasia controversy.
Not that big. Not that big of a last name.
Well, we'll try not to butcher it anymore. We should be well informed now, hopefully.
I would just like to get that on a record. Maybe I'll cut that out and put it on the Football Victoria commentary page.
Yeah, so send it out to them.
They can nail it every time.
So they can nail it. Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. So talking about Bulleen, so you said your senior career really took off when you were at Bulleen and you're able to take that next step a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so moving from juniors into the kind of reserve frame at Bulleen, I had a few good seasons with the reserves when I was about 16, and got picked up with the youth teams at Victory and Hart. And my first year with Victory, I had a decent season. I was a train on, so I wasn't contracted, so just trained full time with them. And then I went back into my NPL season with Bulleen, and I had a good season, just coming off the good training and victory, and scored a few goals, and I think that's when my career started to kind of take off.
What's it like making that change from the NPL to a professional environment?
Yeah, the youth team at Victory was good. It was full time, so that was obviously what I loved doing. You know, training every day. It was a good system. You know, we had good coaching staff. You know, good facilities. So it definitely improved me as a player, even as a person as well. So that was major me coming back to Bulleen as well, because I always took it seriously, and I think that's what helped me, you know, get to where I am today.
In the Victory, you know, youth side, how hard is it to actually break through the senior team and get an opportunity? Because, you know, it seemed to be at that time at Victory, it was pretty set in stone, the first team squad, and they weren't really looking to the youth sides.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of nowadays there's a lot of youth debuts, you know, due to injuries, suspensions, etc. But there's a lot more juniors coming through now, I think, compared to when I was at Victory Youth, and I got my opportunity at Victory, and it was a great experience. I just didn't fit into what they wanted, which you know, it happens at clubs, and that's when I did move on. But I trained with the first team quite a bit, and that even just the training as a young player, you know, shaped me, improved me, and it made me a better player.
Were there any players in particular you looked up to amongst that first team group?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, Berisha was there, you know, as a striker, and we all know Bess. He was a superstar. He worked like an animal, scored goals, and that's how I like to model my game. It was good to just kind of train and work off him. There was a lot of boys there. You know, Kyle Valeri was a very demanding figure in the middle, you know. It was good to, he's not even in my position, but just as a person, it was good to learn off him. But yeah, just all the experienced players were good to learn off.
Would there be anything that you would do differently? Having, you know, looking back on it now, would you have potentially stayed at Bulleen a little bit longer? Or, I mean, is there anything you'd change at all?
Not necessarily. My time at Victory was awesome. I'll never take that back. Maybe going overseas a few more times for a few more cracks at an early age might have done something different. But I wouldn't change much. You know, Victory changed me as a player, made me a better player, and that's how I became a goal scorer, which I like to, you know, call myself a goal scorer. And that from the start there, that's what I aimed for.
So what about after your time at Brisbane came to an end? So, like, what was your perspective on your footballing career after that?
Yeah, well, when I finished my contract at Brisbane, it's a bit up in the air. It was whether it was during the NPL season where I come back to finish off the season in NPL or, you know, go have a break and then reset and then come back and do something. And I went overseas to a club in Armenia, and I was close to signing, but it just wasn't the right move. You know, I discussed it with my manager, my family, and yeah, it just wasn't the right move at the right time. So I came back, and that's when I had a bit to think about, and you know, ended up deciding I was gonna, you know, give the NPL a crack for a season. And that's when, you know, I got the call from Avondale, and it was a went and sat down with them, and you know, their pitch was great, and I couldn't say no.
Well, how have you found the adjustment to NPL Victoria, or I guess back to NPL Victoria with Avondale, and what sets Avondale apart from some of the other clubs that you've been at?
Yeah, well, the jump from NPL to A-League, there is a jump, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of players in the NPL that could go slot into the A-League very easily, and we've seen that. You know, we just saw, you know, for example, last year we had Elvis Kane Shepherd in our squad, and Elvis has just made his debut for Burundi, which is humongous. And I think Avondale are going to take a bit of credit for it as well. So even Kano's, you know, doing well at Newcastle, and we've definitely got players that could slot into an A-League team, no doubt about it.
How do you see yourself fitting into that picture? I mean, are you how eager are you to try to make that step back up? Do you still think you can?
Yeah, most definitely. Like I was saying before, this season's been a bit disrupted for me, so it wouldn't be the right move to do it this year. But yeah, I just, like I said, I'm definitely keen to give another crack. Whereas even if that's going overseas again, starting in a lower division, working up again, or there's that new MacArthur team coming in next year, so I wouldn't be afraid to give that a crack, or any other A-League team. So yeah, it's that's just what my aim is.
How do you make a decision based on whether, you know, it's going overseas to a country like Armenia or some sort of gig like that, or staying in Australia? How tough is that for a player?
Yeah, there's a lot of it's mental as well. You gotta weigh up your options. You know, you go overseas, it's not as pretty as everyone thinks it is. It's not the big big dream move, because, you know, little things like you got to live by yourself, you don't know the language, you don't have, you know, family over there, friends or anything, and it is tough. But yeah, I think it just also depends, as you know, how well your season has been and where you are able to go, whether that's a trial at an A-League club or a trial overseas.
I know you've pursued a couple of interests outside football alongside it. Are you still at the cafe? Is that not a thing anymore?
Not anymore. I did that for about 10, 11 months. That was a temporary coffee stand, which was really cool. It was early mornings, but it was a good experience, you know. I owned my own business for, you know, nearly a year, and learned a lot about paperwork, making coffees. And now I've gone back to uni just to finish off my degree, and yeah, when that finishes next year, hopefully, I will definitely look at getting back into either, you know, I want to get back into full-time work, you know, get my mind off other things, and definitely get back into coffee one day.
So are you now Avondale's head barista? Is that how it goes? Are you in charge of making all the coffees for the boys?
No.
They rock up at training and go, Joey, all right, jump on in, mate. We want, I don't know, 4 cappuccinos, 3 lattes, all that sort of stuff, and you got to smash it out? Or
funnily enough, we have the coffee machine at Avondale, but it's just the one you press the button, so it's not a difficult one. So one day, most definitely. A lot of the boys came in last year when I was there. You know, they supported me, which was good. Even if they lived across town, they'd still come and support me, so it was good of them. But yeah, one day back into coffee. One day.
Who had the worst coffee order? Yeah, four sugars, almond milk. Who was, you know?
Oh, definitely. He's not with us anymore, but it was definitely Evan Christodoulou. Yeah, he used to get an almond long black, so it was a bit funky. Yeah, he used to get a long black with almond milk in it. So
like just
it was,
like
yeah.
A dash or something?
Yeah, just
or?
A dash. It just seemed a bit awkward, but I always give it to him about that. But yeah, that was a bit funny.
Well, you've spoken about how great the culture is at Avondale and the dressing room and so forth. Seems to be a pretty fun environment.
Oh, most definitely. We're just a bunch of clowns. Basically, after training, the music's loud, we're dancing, just enjoying ourselves. And I think that's what shaped our culture. And the boys that have come in have definitely added to that. The boys from last year, the experienced boys as well. You know, we set a goal at the start of the season, which, you know, included like no negativity, because once that starts creeping in, it's not good for a club, it's not good for culture, and we've been positive from day dot, and that's definitely helped us.
Hey, I know we've heard about Stefan Valentini and Brandon Lundy. Are there any other, you know, big clowns that you point out?
They're definitely the two big clowns, but Steph's gonna have to step up now, do more of the dancing, because Lundy's obviously got a busted shoulder, but I think Lundy will make do. But yeah, like I said, there's everyone in there is a clown, no matter who it is. And it just proves that everyone's equal in our team. There's no big players, there's no little players. We're all one, and that's the main culture that we like.
Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, your goals for the rest of the season. Obviously, you know, you're still is the body feeling better from the ankle injury? You're
100%? Yeah, everything's all good. It's just like I said before, just getting back to that form that I was in last year, and helping the team as much as possible. Whether that's, you know, coming off the bench for the rest of the season and, you know, pinching in with a goal or whatever, or just, you know, making that last ditch tackle, or that's my main goal this year, because I want to win silverware. Whether that's, you know, the coming first on the ladder, or that's the national championships, I want to win something, and I know that we are capable of that.
What do you reckon the biggest challenge is going to be to achieving that goal for the club as a whole?
Oh, obviously, everyone's chasing us at the moment. You know, everyone wants to knock us over. And we've been brilliant in, you know, holding our own. And, yeah, we're 5 points clear at the moment. So it's kind of ours to stuff up. But, yeah, we're on flames at the moment, and we're not going to let anyone, you know, get over the top of us so easily.
Having other teams chasing us this year, is that a little bit different from a playing group? Does that add extra pressure in, particularly because, you know, in previous years, you know, we were sitting second or third and we were doing the chasing. So being on top, does that, I don't know, is that a different element, more pressure? I mean, how do you handle that?
Funnily enough, we don't actually speak about it much, being on top. We actually, we don't really touch on it. We touch on it week by week, even training by training. We don't even focus on specific teams. You know, for example, when we're playing, you know, Kingston are a great team. It's unfortunate where they are at the moment, you know, down the bottom. But, you know, we went 1-0 down against them, and we don't usually go 1-0 down against teams. And it was character by the boys to put in a good effort and then score 3 goals and come back and win. But, yeah, we don't really talk about sitting at the top. I think we focus more on just maintaining our play, our goal scoring, and our objectives.
So your mind doesn't wander ahead to, you know, the likes of Heidelberg and Bentley in the finals matches that will be coming up at the end of the season? You just week by week, laser focus?
Yeah, like I said, we just focus on week by week. You know, every session before training, we have a quick debrief, what the session's going to be about, focusing on that week. And, yeah, we don't focus on any specific teams. Obviously, there are, you know, bigger occasions when you have to, you know, focus on, and that will obviously come down to the finals, you know, when we're, you know, playing against tougher opponents.
Well, week by week, I mean, Pasco Vale coming up this weekend, obviously they've made some splashes in the mid-season transfer window, so a bit of a different team to what you faced beforehand with 5 new signings coming through the door. Have you been briefed on all of that?
Yeah, we go through, on game day, we'll go through the team. Mm. We'll go through who they've signed, whatever, just to kind of help whoever has to play on them or whatever. But we focus on ourselves. We know that we're the team to beat at the moment, and we just need to continue playing our football, and that shows in the results. But, yeah, like I said, we just need to focus on the way we play. We don't really focus on the opposite team.
Does the weight of having to get a result, though, have any effect at all? So, like, I mean, if you look purely based on ladder position, you know, we're on top. Pasco Vale are sitting, I think they're sitting 12th at the moment. You know, I mean, is that something that creeps into your mind at all? Or you feel that weight of coming into this game going, geez, we really should win this one?
Yeah, I think every game we believe we can win, and we know we can. It's the fact that anything can happen in this NPL. The bottom team can knock off the top team. Last year, we lost to Bulleen 5-1. And they ended up getting relegated. You know, like that was probably one of the worst losses I've ever had to endure in my career. But like I said, we focus on the team at hand that week, and we need to remember that anything can happen, and we just need to play our football. And I know if we do that, we can beat anyone.
Do you have anything else to add, Ransom?
No, we've
covered it off pretty nicely.
My one very random question is, who do you go for in the footy? I mean, you mentioned the AFL before.
Carlton. Oh. So it's a love-hate relationship with Carlton at the moment. But, yeah, I'll always support them. They're my boys. So, yeah, just got to stick with them.
Yeah, I don't know. That question was just sort of sticking in the back of my mind. I have no idea why.
Do you follow a team in Europe? Or?
I go for Liverpool. So that we had a good season. Yeah. Would have been a shame if we didn't end up with any silverware. But, Liverpool's probably the team I follow the most. Real Madrid as well. But the games are on too early in the morning sometimes. It's hard to
watch.
You're a coffee expert. Surely you'd be able to, you know, sort of, that might help you out at all.
That's the thing. I used to watch some games. I was up early, so I used to chuck it on while I was, you know, waiting for customers or something. But, when I can watch games, I do, you know, especially obviously the Matildas are on at the moment, you know, support the girls. Hopefully they get a win tomorrow morning. When I can watch football, I do.
Do you have been tuning into any of the NPL live streams? It's all on YouTube this season, which is
big. I don't really watch many of the games. I just, I'm not a massive fan of watching my opposite teams unless it's like the highlights. I watch the highlights after. because we do our own what's the word? We do our own. Our coaches do our
film reviews,
preview and stuff before the game. We show slides of what we need to do against them, how they set up. So yeah, that's basically what I focus on. I don't really watch the NPL live games.
Do you think it's possible to be overexposed to football? I mean, like with everything, all the avenues that we have to watch. I mean, you can watch all the NPL games, you can watch all the A-League games, you can watch all the Women's World Cup, you can watch the African Cup. Is it possible to get, I mean, there's so many things that you can watch.
Yeah.
Is it ever just too much?
There's always football. You know, football's the best sport in the world. There's always something going on with football. Even in the off seasons of the Premier League, there's always something going on. And like I said, whenever there's something on, I'll try and watch it as long as it's at a, you know, reasonable hour, not at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. But you can never get enough of football. And that's a good mentality to have, I think, when you play it as well.
I like it.
Well, big game coming up this Friday night, CB Smith Reserve, always a nice field to play on. I imagine, I've never played on it. But yeah, it looks like a nice pitch.
It's usually good. It just depends whether, you know, the rain holds out. I know it can get a bit muddy there.
But, it's usually freezing cold because it's a late kickoff.
Very chilly. I think it's
8:15.
Yeah, a lot better. Yeah, 8:15, just a bit earlier. But I've played there quite a few times. It's decent service. Paco are a solid side. Even I don't think where they sit on the ladder represents the team that they have. And it'll be a tough game. You know, all these games are do or die for us now. But yeah, like I said, I've got full belief in these boys, and you know, we always believe. We'll never stop believing. And I'm excited for Friday.
Do you have to be extra cautious of a team in a relegation fight?
Oh yeah, they.
Is that a factor?
Yeah. No, it definitely is a factor. You know, they need points. Because they need to stay up. They don't want to go in playoff positions, and points are handy for them, you know. These bottom teams will take even a point off us. They'd be happy with a point. So, yeah, we always got to be careful. Now teams are starting to sit off against us, obviously, but, you know, we know how to adapt to it, and, like I said, we're ready to go.
I'll give you a little heads up. Pasco Vale have signed a centre-back from Preston Lions, who's a team I watch quite often, and he likes to take his dentures out before the game, Nathan Cook. Okay. So, you know, don't just tell the boys up front, don't be intimidated by his missing teeth. He's just...
Okay, I'll definitely let Limo. I'll let Limo know. He'll probably be on a one-on-one battle with him the whole game.
That's
weird insight, but I love it. I mean, that's good insight.
He's a funny bloke, actually. Give us all you got. I'll relay this all to Zocchi.
Oh, you would have played against him.
I'll put it in one of the slides.
I think you would have played against him already this season in the FFA Cup, actually.
Yeah, we did. I'm pretty sure. I do recognise the name against Preston. Cookie, they were a decent team, to be fair to them, Preston. They gave us a bit of a tough game.
Out at ABD,
yeah.
Well, certainly going to be a huge, huge one on Friday. Joey, thank you so much for coming into the studio and sharing all those insights about Avondale, about your career as well. And best of luck for the weekend.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.